You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit GoldenOakLending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
That advantage for St. Louis. Morrissey out of the box.
Well, a must kill for the Jets. They got it done. We got to find a way to get one before the end of the period now.
Here's Fox across ice. Score! It is now 5-1. Toropchenko beats Hellebuck. Fourth goal of the period.
The Blues winning, forcing Game 7, and allowing for more Game 7s. I need more of this in my bloodstream.
We need more game sevens.
We need more game sevens. I don't think there's enough. Not enough game sevens. Only two? Two? Two is child's play to people like me and Joe Yurden. Am I right?
Absolutely, you're right. Of course it is. Come yeah, I know. It's two game sevens. I'm a little bummed out we don't have more of them. But, you know, listen, the two series that we're going to have game sevens in have been the most entertaining of the first round. I guess it's an easy sell because they've gone seven games, so of course they're the best series. But imagine if it was six terrible games leading to a game seven, and then it's just kind of like, oh god, just end the series, please, just get this out of my face. But no, it's been amazing.
And we'll start pretty much out west there with the one that's tonight, the Stars and the Avalanche. Colorado seeing the return of Gabriel Landeskog into their lineup. It has not been the easiest series for them. The Stars dealing with some injuries, including Miro Heiskanen, that is kind of slowing them down a little bit. And Colorado taking game 6, 7-4, in order to force that game 7 in Dallas tonight.
Yeah, that game 6 was pretty crazy because Dallas had that incredible second period where, what was it, Rupe Hintz and Mikko Rantanen each put up 4 points in the period. I can't even think offhand how many times the Sabre had a 4 point game this season. These two guys had 4 points in a period. Just incredible stuff. And then the third period, I mean, there's, you know, they had the own goal, and then, you know, there was a couple empty netters that helped make that scoreline look a little juicier than maybe it was supposed to. But Dallas getting to a game seven without Heiskanen, without Jason Robertson, who's been out this entire series, says a lot about them because they're a very good team. And you know, I know, listen, you lose 7-4, you're not thinking of the goalie right away, but man, Jake Ottinger is really good. He's an extremely good goalie, and Mackenzie Blackwood's been very good for Colorado. So you're asking a lot to try to contain MacKinnon and Cale Makar. And now with Landeskog going, I mean, it's fantastic watching him play again. It's considering what he went through with his knee and like a knee cartilage, like replacements and all this stuff. So that's awesome to see him back on the ice and looking like the guy that we saw help Colorado win it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think that's the sick part for me in such a positive way is Landeskog is kind of back to just doing his normal thing. And it's disgusting to even think about that he is still just capable of being the same player that he is. And again, Dallas without Robertson. I mean, it was so infuriating to see them playing Robertson in a meaningless game at the end of the regular season. just to see him get injured like that. And now if Dallas does not move on, that is a major question heading into your offseason.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, you know, regrets. I've had a few kind of moments. Cause I don't know if they necessarily needed the game to have home ice advantage or not. I don't remember how the standings quite shook out. I know it was close, but I think they had it kind of in control. So, but you know, asking hockey players to, you know, to take a game off and not play, like, you know, that's a hard ask. Plus you want to have these guys clicking, and Robertson has kind of struggled with the playoffs in the last couple of years. So, you know, I can understand wanting to, you know, be playing and be ready and, you know, be at the top of your game, you know, going into the postseason. But yeah, it's anything can happen in those games, and, you know, freaky things can go down, and, you know, injuries happen in hockey. It's just the way it goes. But, you know, this was going to be a tough series for them just by not having Heiskanen anyways. I mean, he's, you know, arguably their best defenseman, although Thomas Harley's pretty good. But Heiskanen is the guy that really drives their back line. And yeah, it's hard because the Stars are an extremely good team. They're a team that can win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, it's getting through the West is just it's a murder. It's a murderous road to try to get out of the Western Conference, because there's so, you know, the team at the bottom of the West, kind of easy. But once you get in the playoffs, that's the real war, because everybody's so good.
Everyone's so good, and you talk about players that, you know, you mentioned how Robertson, not the greatest playoff resume. Another one that doesn't have the greatest playoff resume as we switch series, so this is the best transition I'm going to give you. Connor Hellebuck, again giving up 5 goals in Game 6, forcing a Game 7. In the 3 losses that he's had, he's been shellacked against St. Louis, but when he's dialed in, he's as good as anyone can be.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because obviously Hellebuck's got to be better himself. Like, there's no doubt about that. But you go back and you watch, you know, especially when the Blues are piling up goals, like in spans where, you know, they score 3 in 2 minutes or something like that, and you're just like, what happened here? And you go back and you watch the highlights and you see where the cracks started to show. And a lot of times it's Hellebuck's got one of his own guys standing in his way, or, you know, there's 3 Blues standing around the net and nobody's clearing them out. Or there's a whole pile of guys standing in front of the cage and Hellebuck's, you know, you see his head moving around. He's trying to find, you know, where the play's going, where the puck's coming from, and then it's behind him. And, you know, it's one of those things where it snowballs and it gets out of control quick and like everybody panics. And that's really weird to see out of Winnipeg, because they've been so calm and cool all season long. And it's tough to feel bad for a team that, you know, had one of the best records in the league. Didn't they win the President's Trophy? I mean,
they did.
But then they're going into the playoffs. You're playing the hottest team in the NHL. And, you know, that's just how it goes. I mean, teams at the bottom of the playoffs usually are fighting and scrapping to get in, you know, to the last day anyways. But St. Louis has played great hockey since Jim Montgomery took over, and they've looked awesome for the second half of the season. And then Winnipeg's got to go from 0 to 100 play, you know, just kind of like in cruise control late in the season. And then they got a buzzsaw coming right at them in the Blues. And it's like, uh-oh, we're not ready for this. Whoa, 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 guys, let's ease into this thing. And the Blues are like, nope, we're going 100 miles an hour, buddy. Get ready.
Matter of fact, and Joe, I think I remember now. Didn't the Blues win 9 or 10 straight to like near the end of the season?
Yeah. Yeah. They rattled off a lot of wins late in the year, and they looked great doing it. You know, Robert Thomas was awesome. Kyrou was great. Binnington played exceptional hockey in goal since Four Nations, since Canada won. He helped Canada win Four Nations. So it's, you know, it's one of these things where everything's clicked right. You know, they added Cam Fowler. He's been awesome for them on the blue line. So it's one of these things where Doug Armstrong, the GM, just pulled every lever, and every lever has worked. And when they didn't trade Braden Schenn at the deadline, because everybody wondered if, you know, do you have to like break some of this up? Do you have to make a deal? He said, nope, we're keeping them. And then that emboldened everybody to say, all right, let's go. We're going to win this. And it's very Shorzy-like. Like, we're never going to lose again. Well, they might not. I mean, I know they've lost three games in the series, but, like, listen, you got seven games to win four, so, and they're a game away from doing it.
Oh, by the way, it was 12 in a row. I thought it was 9 or 10. No, it was 12. 12 near the end of the year, then they lose three and win their final game when they had a playoff spot clinched. Good Lord. I've been through 12 straight of something, but it wasn't wins.
I mean, streaks can go one way or the other, Derek.
I know, can one time, can it just be us over here hanging out, talking about a 12-game win? That'd be great.
No, listen, they won five in a row at one point this year. That hadn't happened in a long time. So
I know.
Baby steps.
I know, I hate the baby steps. But just to wrap up the West here, with a pair of series where two teams had a series lead and then collapsed throughout, the Wild getting up 2-1 and heading into overtime in Game 4 and in Game 5, and ultimately it just doesn't roll their way, and then they lose Game 6, Vegas goes on to advance. And then, of course, the yearly matchup between the Oilers and the Kings. LA takes the first two games convincingly, but then Edmonton cranks it up and is easily able to move on.
You know, that Edmonton-LA series is staggering because LA was a monstrous home team this year. They I think they had one of the best home records in the NHL. And you figured, like, well, best of seven, you know, Oilers are going to get their games, of course. But, you know, the LA's got the advantage because at best they'll have four home games and they should probably win those. And what was it, Game 3 or Game 4 where Coach Jim Hiller challenged one of the goals for, I don't know if it was offside or something.
Yep.
Game 3. And that moment seemed to unravel everything because Edmonton used that as like an advantage. Apparently I'm getting hot taked here by our local fire department here, but they used that moment to kind of rally. And from that point on, LA was not the same team. And now, mind you, LA blew leads in each of the last four games. And that's, I mean, listen, you can't be blowing leads regularly anyways, but you can't do it in the playoffs. And you can't do it when it's Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid on the other side. And what's remarkable about it is, you know, Stuart Skinner was so great in the playoffs for the Oilers last year, getting them to the cup final, game seven, the whole thing. He was awful in the early part of the series, and Calvin Pickard took over, and everybody's like, who's Calvin Pickard? Which is exactly the point. Pickard took over, was solid enough, and now Edmonton's going on to the next round against Vegas, and it's like, all right, well, it's like, well, who's going to stop him? And I'm like, well, Vegas is going to stop him. Unless Vegas gets really stupid again against the Oilers and just takes penalties and lets their power play go crazy, but Vegas doesn't take penalties anymore, and now they score on every power play opportunity they get, and Vegas is really dangerous.
So, Joe, as a Toronto hater, I have to ask, the Maple Leafs finally didn't Maple Leaf. What does that mean for them, and what are we looking forward to most about their matchup with Florida coming up? I know I'm excited for it.
I was in Toronto for Game 5, and that everything about that game, if you're going to base thoughts on a team based on one game, I watched Toronto in that game and I'm like, this team isn't going anywhere. Right? They played horrible. Ottawa didn't play great, but they played better. They were able to control them. And Toronto just was just kind of like, oh, well, we got a couple more games to beat these guys, I guess. So whatever. But they played a terrible Game 5, and, you know, Stolarz was fine. Like, he was fine, whatever. Allmark got better as the game went along. He was outstanding in Game 5. But that was a game where I'm like, I don't know if this Toronto – I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't know if this Toronto team's going anywhere. And it's very hard to be sold on them because a lot of the way they play is not – it doesn't – you watch them and you're just kind of like, all right, well, they're a team, I guess, which is odd because they have such great talent. You know, Marner, Matthews – Nylander, Tavares, all these guys. But nothing about them really just makes me say, like, all right, I think these guys have got it in them to make a run here. I just don't see it. And Florida, listen, they beat Tampa Bay in five games, right? And Tampa Bay was really good, and they were really good going into the playoffs. And you're like, boy, this series is going to be a murder show because these teams hate each other, going to kill each other. Well, Florida just rolled right through them like it was nothing. And it's like, oh, well, we had a lot of questions about the Panthers going into the playoffs. They ended the season horribly. You know, they got Kachuk back. You know, Ekblad came back for game two or three or whatever. They immediately get suspended again. But like, they get all their guys back, and it's like nothing. They didn't miss a step. And it's like, oh, okay, well, the champs are back. So I'm looking at this series and saying, I don't like the Leafs' chances, but like, I don't know. Does Florida run out of gas at some point here? Because this is, it's really hard. It's really hard to do this again for them, which would be the third year in a row. We forget that they went to the finals 2 years ago and lost to Vegas, and then of course won it last year in seven games against Edmonton. But I don't know. It's maybe they figured out how, like, Tampa did it a few years ago, where, you know, guys would get injured and miss half the year, then oops, they're back for the start of the playoffs. And yeah, I don't know. Matthew Tkachuk looks fresh and ready and brand new, and Barkov looks great. Like, the whole team looks awesome, and you're like, oh, here come the Panthers again. Look out, this is going to be dangerous. And I don't know. You keep waiting for the same old Leafs to turn up, and like, you saw some of it against Ottawa, but I don't know. I just a team doing this every year is so hard, and Florida, you know, looking nasty again. I just wonder if maybe the tank goes empty at some point, but I don't know. It's very tough to get a read on them because the Leafs just don't look fun, don't look exciting, don't look dangerous. And yet, you know, if they just plug along and win 2-1 games or 3-2 games, and like, that's all that matters.
And that's something about Toronto that in particular fascinates me. This year was different for them because they have been a more defensively responsible team. Anthony Stolarz has been fantastic for them all throughout the season. And yet here they are about to face probably the biggest challenge in the entire postseason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we're going to learn a lot about these guys, which you'd think we'd know everything about them inside and out at this point, because we've seen them in the playoffs every year. But we're going to find out if Craig Berube was the right call. If he's the guy that knows the right switches to pull, if he knows, you know, if he's got this whole thing figured out. I mean, guys won a cup before, so it's not like he's, you know, he's some guy that doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. But I don't know. Just a lot of what Toronto does hasn't looked very remarkable. Like, the big guys haven't really stood out. And you know, Nylander looked great in game six against Ottawa, but you know, he looked horrible in game five. So, I mean, you know, it's very mercurial with them. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that series shakes out.
2-14 in games that they can eliminate an opponent and move on. And that's just with this core since 2018. So it's kind of disgusting, Joe. I don't know what it is about that core with the Maple Leafs that seems so off with them. But on the other end, we have Alex Ovechkin, apparently the record setter. He is not slowing down. He averages a goal per game against Montreal. Yeah, it's Montreal, but they took care of him very quickly, which was something that not a lot of analytics people would have thought to happen. They were thinking maybe Washington's a little flawed. Montreal could surprise, make this a longer series, and no, not even close.
Yeah, the Montreal got Tom Wilson, which, you know, if you get suckered in and you start focusing on him and him playing as hard as he does, because he didn't even do anything where it was just like, oh man, classic Tom Wilson being a dirty player. He didn't do any of that in this series. It was just him running hard and, you know, okay, maybe he's picking on Hudson. Maybe he's picking on Caulfield or whoever, but like, sorry, you can't be running smaller guys out there against Tom Wilson. You know, Alexander Carrier ate a big hit from him too. And, you know, Carrier is not a small guy, but I mean, you can't buy into that. Like, franchises have folded like into themselves by getting caught up in Tom Wilson being as hard as he is to play against out there. I mean, the Rangers have, you know, that team's imploded because Wilson broke their brains. The Penguins haven't been the same since, you know, the years of dealing with Wilson, because they've been chasing that dragon, trying to figure out how to get back at him. And, you know, Montreal just kind of fell into the trap again. I mean, once the Habs decided, like, all right, Arber Žekaj, that's our counterpart. Like, guys, you know, I love Arber Žekaj. He's fun. He's physical. He's a fighting monster. But if he's your answer in the playoffs and the Caps are running a lot of offensive skilled guys out there and can skate circles around Arber Žekaj, it's over. It's over. And it was over. Like, that was the point. It was done. Cool. We got fun during the warmups. The teams, you know, fighting each other, whatever. That's exciting. I love it. But, like, series over. It's done. And it was done. So, you know, learning lesson for Montreal, and they got to hope that they can get back to the playoffs, because that's not going to be easy. I know sky's the limit for them, but, like, you know, Ottawa's there, Buffalo, maybe we'll see.
One day, you know, I promise.
You know, is Boston actually dead and buried? I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. We'll see. But it's hard to get to the playoffs, and, you know, Montreal's got a ton of talent, but, like, we'll see. Obviously losing Montembeau didn't help them, but yeah, it was, you know, Washington's a better team, and that's, you know, that's veteran know-how taking care of business for them.
And finally, Carolina against New Jersey. The Devils definitely ran out of steam after starting the season so hot, and Carolina kind of was able to just navigate their way through here. The problem with the Hurricanes is now. It's never been the first round with them, like typically with Toronto, for example. Carolina, it's these later rounds. They've never been able to break through with the group that they have.
Yeah, and you know what? Jersey was just too injured. I mean, they lost, you know, they were dealing without Hamilton, and then they lost, what, three more defensemen in the series, and they didn't have Jack Hughes at all. You know, they were fighting uphill against it, and, you know, full marks to Jacob Markstrom. He played great, given everything going on in front of him. He played an awesome series, just, you know. The deck was stacked against them, but yeah, Carolina. I mean, listen, I've been saying this for a couple of years now on Bleacher Report, that if the Hurricanes played in a market where there was a lot more attention on them, the pressure would be sky high on them to advance, because this team has been a 100 point, you know, 9,500 point team for the last 4 or 5 years, and getting past the first, second round has been impossible for them. And that's even when they've been the favorites, they've still gotten upended. And yeah, this is a big test for them. And, you know, we'll see if Freddie Anderson, you know, is going to be good to go. You know, Kochetkov's a good goalie too, so, like, you know, that's fine. They're going to throw 1,000 shots at the net. Okay, whatever. Logan Thompson sure seems to be pretty good right now for Washington. But Carolina's, you know, this is a hard matchup for them. And there's a lot about what Carolina did against Jersey that, I don't know, it's very tough to get through the noise with them. Like, and I'm saying this as, like, you know, if you pay attention to advanced stats and whatever, everything Carolina does makes it look like, oh my God, these guys are kings of the earth. They're never going to be beaten, because the advanced numbers look great for them all the time, no matter what. But, like, when you cut through a lot of that, you're just kind of like, all right, well, are they finishing? Are they actually doing things right here? And there's a lot where, you know, it's like clutch moments, it's big areas, it's a lot of the, you know, stuff that may not shine through in those numbers, where you're like, I don't know if this team's for real or not. Like, it's very hard to kind of cut through the noise with them. And with Washington, it's kind of blunt. They do a lot of the good, you know, fancy stat stuff too, but a lot, you know, everybody keeps waiting for things to fall apart with the Caps, and they've just been dominant all season long. And that, to me, is what kind of gives the Caps the edge in this. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, at some point, you think the Hurricanes players are going to be sick of coming up short and say, all right, well, forget it. We're, you know, it's our time now. Let's take control of that. But, you know, you can say that about Toronto. You can say that about Edmonton. You say, well, there's a lot of teams in the playoffs where you're like, they got to be sick and tired of losing so early, right? They got to change this, and they will, right? We'll see. We'll see what happens with Carolina. But yeah, it's a lot of hard questions if Carolina does not get past Washington, because they at least got to get to the conference final if you're them.
I mean, I know a team in a different sport that has a hard time breaking through to the eventual title games. So, you know, it's not always easy. You know, that's
I don't know if you want to have Buffalo fans having you know, simpatico feelings for the Carolina Hurricanes here.
I know, but like at the same time.
You might be asking a lot there, Derek.
Yeah, I got to go take a shower now. Look, sometimes you just got to say the hard things and make you feel dirty, okay?
Hey, but, pretty soon Mitch Marner will be a Buffalo Sabre, all right? Like we just have to think about it that way.
Listen, my favorite thing to stir people up is to say that all it's going to take this summer is for Josh Allen to call Mitch Marner up in the offseason and be like, hey, buddy, you're a big Bills fan, right?
Joe gets it. Joe's
for you for the rest of your life. Come and play for the Sabres, Mitch. It'll be great.
Yep, that's exactly the simple pitch. You shove him on an airplane, you send him to Toronto, and literally what you said. So Joe Yurden is now on Team Mitchy Biscuits. Let's go.
Well, you gotta set him on a plane with Bills season tickets for life, and also a contract that is $15 million a year for 7 years.
Yeah, everyone's gonna do that. That Josh Allen and the Bills season tickets are your edge.
Well, I mean, they will be a little expensive in the new stadium.
Exactly.
So, you know, maybe
comp them some tickets. Get them a PSL for free. And that's how you beat the other teams that are also going to be throwing $15 million a year at them.
Well, at this rate, there's only going to be about three or four of them. So, you know, good luck.
I'm cool with being one of only four in a mix. I'll be cool with that. That would make me very giddy, beyond belief, Joe. And you know how insufferable I can get when I'm excited.
It's true. Although we can, at this rate, we could relive the glory days of pursuing Brad Richards and Steven Stamkos and Mike Babcock, I guess.
It's better than the hell that we've gone through. Joe, permission to do this again as we inch closer to the conference finals.
Absolutely. No, we'll be happy to do it again.
We will get our playoff check-in then soon enough, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Thanks again for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It always is. It's always fun talking to Joe Yurden on the West Hur Hotline.
It'll be even more fun when Mitch Marner's in a Sabres uniform soon.
That's still a couple months away. You got to remember that. Free agency is July, my friend.
Yes. July 1st, my birthday. I always remember.
Always July.
Always
1st.
Remember.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I always remember because I never get a birthday gift from the Buffalo Sabres.
You okay?
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah.
You good?
We're fine. We're fine.
I don't think you are.
We are allegedly fine. We are allegedly fine, and that's how we're going to keep things going. We'll dive in a little bit more. We'll get some predictions going after the first round because you and I, we did a playoff bracket. It did not go well for me.
No.
My Stanley Cup champion is already gone.
Who is yours?
Tampa. Mm.
Vegas is mine.
Well, congratulations. So we'll talk more. We'll get a little bit of predictions going on here with the rest of the playoffs. And then if we have a chance, we'll see if we can check in on Brian Koziel at the end of the show as we'll kick it to him from Batavia Downs.
Derby Day.
An extended Sports Talk Saturday with Brian Koziel out there for Derby Day here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Do anything with it would have been offside. Now on the attack, here come the Amherst. Feet in front of the shot, stick stop for Halverson as that swept in on goal by Yops. Back at the right point, another shot in. They score! Yops gets a tip in front, shot from the top of the slot, tip through the legs of Halverson, and the Amherst now have a 3-0 lead.
The Rochester Americans swept Syracuse, by the way.
Yeah. They're looking good.
Oh, no, no. Ready? Here's your fun fact. The Rochester Americans swept Syracuse before some of their playoff, like some of the other playoff series even started.
Oh, man.
I'm not kidding when I say that.
That sounds like the Bandits.
Because last night was the first time that Charlotte and Providence played a game in the five-game series, in a best-of-five series. And the Rochester Americans had already won their series. Nasty work.
Yeah, that is.
Also, like, interesting scheduling that Rochester and Syracuse effectively blitzed through this playoff series. So they started on day two of the draft.
Did they?
Yes. And again, that was game one. Was last week Friday. And then yesterday is the first game between Charlotte and Providence. Rochester's going to be waiting a pretty minute here. If there's like any sort of series that goes to five games.
They'll get a nice little bye pretty much at that point.
It is truly fascinating to me though that like that's how it ended up going. Because the latest that an AHL playoff game can go through is May 12th. Monday, May 12th.
Oh.
So the Rochester Americans are not playing hockey for a long time.
They could be just sitting back. Devin Levi could be sipping on more of those brewskis that say zero on them.
At the very least, if series do go with sweeps, there's one that's already not. And that would mean they're still not playing. They might not be playing until, So it's the North Division. They might get their series started sooner than others. At the very worst, the North Division, Laval and Cleveland. The last game would be May 9th, and that's if it goes five. Right now it's 2-0 Laval. They can clinch it as soon as this afternoon against Cleveland, formerly the Lake Erie Monsters.
The Lake Erie Monsters.
They embraced more of being in Cleveland, so that's fair.
They're right there.
So, yeah, it's more or less. It's just hilarious, though, to me that there's already, before a team even played a hockey game, the Amherst clinched it on Thursday, the series sweep. And there were two series, Charlotte and Providence, and Rockford and Milwaukee, that started their series last night. Gross. That is how disgusting the Rochester Americans roster is right now, by the way.
Listen,
it already was a good team all year.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Sabres, at the end of it, give back.
They sent a couple guys their way.
Their top six.
Yeah.
Most of their top six, as Kozak's back, Austin's back. Roseanne's back. And then they were like, oh, Yuri Kulik is also eligible, and he's going to come play for you guys now, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and Devon Levi has two shutouts in the playoffs already.
Devon Levi, I think this is the best possible case scenario for him.
Back-to-back shutouts.
The way he's developed in Rochester is what you needed to do with him from the start. And I don't think he's done yet.
Oh, he's not done. I honestly think that this team is stacked enough that they will make the finals. They really do have a chance to do it. It is, can you get past damn Hershey, please? The Hershey Bears are like the most obnoxious AHL team of all time right now. I'm really convinced of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hershey's always in the conversation of making a final. Even though sometimes they don't have any prospects. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they have just guys that are just really good AHLers. Hershey's very annoying. If you're an AHLer,
yeah.
If you're an AHL fan, if you're a Rochester Amherst fan first, if you're out in Rochester, you're hearing this. If I say the words Hershey Bears to you, I'm pretty sure I can't air your response.
Mm-hmm.
Hershey's stupendously annoying in the AHL. You would think it would translate to Washington, their NHL affiliate.
Nope.
I mean, it did once.
One time.
Well, now it might also.
Yeah, it could. It could.
Also doing really well now.
The jury's still out, I guess.
But it's also this current group that frustrated the AHL for years has finally graduated to Washington. Players like Connor McMichael. That were homegrown. So yeah, maybe there's a little bit of translation years down the line. Hell, we saw it. The Amherst, the last time they were going on this kind of a threat to go deep, it was Krebs, Quinn, Peterka.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has panned out.
Yes.
With the jury still out on one of them, and the other might be dead to rights. And I might be being nice.
I think you are being nice.
I honestly think the jury is still out on Quinn.
You do?
I think that once he got his game going again and he was taken off of Dylan Cousins' line because Cousins got traded,
mm-hmm.
I think Quinn woke up a little bit. And I do think that it does have to do with the mental state. Being injured is never an easy thing to go through, let alone back-to-back years. Or back-to-back injuries, I would say, in the same year. Forgive me. He comes back from an Achilles injury and then is looking like the best Saber on the ice and then tears his knee. We saw this, different sport, but we saw this with Tre'Davious White with an Achilles and then a knee injury.
Yeah, it's not good. That combination is...
But even then, Trey White is coming back.
He is.
To Buffalo.
Will he be the same? No.
But he's
still coming back.
He was serviceable in Baltimore, though.
He was. I mean, he got the Bills to the AFC Championship game.
Double agent. He was totally set up on that flag.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He did not deserve a pass interference call on that play.
McDermott goes, do you want to be on the team next year? You got to do this for me.
So that's why the jury is still out for me on Quinn.
I get it.
I think there's something still there. He has an elite trait. It is his shot. It's Krebs that I'm kind of like, I don't know if you just are who you are at this point and you're just a bottom six center.
Right. No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
And that's fine. Teams still need those. But JJ's panned out as a top six player or a top six forward. It's Quinn that's my question mark. Am I comfortable with them going back to him this season? Not entirely. Do I think all is lost? No. Do I think he can be a trade asset? Yes. I can't think that the player is doomed and then expect to get a piece for him. That's not how this works. If he's trash and you want to trade him, guess what you're getting back? It's called a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get rid of bad players and get good assets unless you're dealing with Chuck Fletcher. That's a Rasmus Ristolainen joke for those of you that couldn't catch on right away.
That is. That is a Rasmus Ristolainen joke. You know what else is a joke? Little off here. Jason Botterill has a GM job.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And everybody just forgets about the turmoil he caused here, except for anyone around here.
Everyone here still remembers.
Right, but then we're trying to defend him in the national media
landscape. No, we're not trying to defend him. We were... people were defending the Sabres.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, which is almost just as gross.
People around here, yes. But then, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, people around...
Does anyone remember the Ryan O'Reilly trade?
Not even that, because you did get Tage Thompson out of that deal eventually.
Ralph Kruger?
He hired Ralph Kruger. He also let Brandon Hagel walk for nothing.
That is also true, yes.
A prospect that could have been happily sitting there in your system, he just decided, nah, I'm good. What do you mean, nah? And so, also, I think Botchwell got lapped pretty quickly in terms of drafting acumen by Kevin Adams.
Mm-hmm.
A man who had no NHL front office experience, mind you.
That's the one thing we've said about Kevin Adams is he can draft.
Again.
We've seen it.
Jury's still out also because like it's now going into year six.
Mm-hmm.
So the more players that you actually see graduate into the league, it's going to be better on Adams. He also had a time to have that track record. Botchwell only got 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But his returns are not great. Matias Samuelson was a Botchwell pick. I don't think we need to convey those feelings.
Casey Mittelstadt was a Botterill pick.
Dylan Cousins was a Botterill pick.
Mm-hmm.
They're already off the roster.
All
both
of them. Yeah.
And those are your first rounders.
Yeah. Countless others in the mix as well.
Yeah. Like the fact that I see Buffalo with their most successful second round pick being J.J. Paterka,
mm-hmm.
and the last time I could think of a second round pick playing as well as he did was from like Darcy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Murray, forget it.
Oh, that was when I was first starting to like get into all
infamous,
this.
Infamous, the 2015 second round where he whiffed on three picks,
mm-hmm.
including Brendan Lemieux saying, I'll never play for you. And he said, all right, bet. And then he didn't. Maybe yeah. We should have took that at face value, Tim.
Sorry to mention Jason Botterill and start spiraling this into this.
Yeah,
but
we need to get going because we should probably have a chance
to speak to Brian Koziel.
To set up to speak with Brian Koziel. We'll see if we can get that or not.
Because the ponies are racing today, believe it or not.
The ponies are indeed racing. So we'll see if we can connect here with Brian Koziel coming up next as we will transition to him from Batavia Downs for Derby Day. He's Joe Kelly. I'm Derek Kramer. Evan is on the board. This is WGR.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Final segment here of hour number 3 of Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer hanging out with you before we pass the baton over to Brian Koziel, who's going to be live setting up at Batavia Downs as we speak, as it's going to be the Kentucky Derby. So we got ourselves an extended version of Sports Talk Saturday as Brian Koziel will end up taking the reins from 2 o'clock till 5 here on WGR. Interesting conversations, though, today. Obviously, we spoke with Dave Buchanan, talking everything Bandits in the first hour. Bandits, again, winning 9-3 last night against Vancouver. They have a chance tomorrow night to advance to their fourth straight NLL Finals with a win. That'll be a face-off 9 o'clock, and that should be here on WGR tomorrow night. We talked NHL playoffs earlier in this hour with Joe Yurden. Had a lot to say about, you know, the fact that Toronto finally moved on. Thanks a lot, Ottawa. I really appreciate that you couldn't let the meme keep going. And I'm not at all jealous as a Buffalo Sabres fan that Ottawa got to be in the playoffs. So why couldn't we be the team to ruin the memes? You know, why did it have to be Ottawa? Why did Montreal have to be a team that gets smoked by Washington? I would have loved getting smoked by Washington there, you know? I suppose. Though Buffalo did play Washington better than, oddly enough, Montreal this year. That's why the Sabres weren't in the playoffs. You couldn't solve the Montreal Canadiens. Or Philadelphia, for that matter. Still dumb, still stupid. I'm not at all sad about that. But if you missed Joe Yurden, that'll be online on our website as well at WGR550.com. Brian Koziel is going to be coming up next. He'll be talking with, I would imagine, Ryan Hasenauer will be there with him to help give you the best in terms of odds for the race for the Kentucky Derby tonight and plenty more. Who knows what Brian's got on the table? We can find that out in a little bit. For Joe Calley, for Evan DiPasquale on the board, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Brian Koziel from Batavia Downs coming up next here on the radio home of the Bills, the Sabres, and for this playoff run, the Bandits. WGR Sports Radio 550.
If you love your phone but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.